ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When the message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Amen.
Good to think of a recent example which showed that this can happen today. Think of the story of Nelson Mandela. Think about how he was in prison all these years on Robben Island. Think about how he was lifted out of prison to be the Prime Minister of South Africa. In that moment, he could have taken revenge on all his enemies. But what did he do next? At his inauguration ceremony, he invited the jailer to be with him. He went and supported the South African rugby team, which had for many, many years been the pride of white South Africa. He went and cheered them on. And he forgave. How was he able to do that? Because he wanted to save many lives. He didn't want people to have bloodshed and to be fighting each other. And so he chose to forgive because he had a vision of a bigger plan. And there was a Christian alongside him at that time called Bishop Desmond Tutu. And he didn't say, "It doesn't matter what's happened in the past." He says, "We choose to forgive, but we want to tell the truth about what happened." And he set up this Truth and Reconciliation Commission, where people came forward and said, "This is what you did to me." And then other people who had been hurt offered their forgiveness. That is a work of God. What we would say is impossible forgiveness. I remember seeing a video of a woman whose son had been killed by this security policeman. And he came and he explained what he did to the body of her son. And then she embraced him. Truth and reconciliation, because the saving of many lives, the following of a bigger plan. But after Jacob dies, fear sets out again. They think the only reason Joseph's forgiven us is because Dad's still alive. And now that Dad is dead, Joseph's going to get us. And what is the first thing that Joseph says? He says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And Joseph's whole thinking, his whole faith is all about giving comfort in this moment. It's not about trying to explain a great mystery. "I will come back in 2 weeks' time and I will try and explain from God's word this amazing truth that God is in control in all circumstances, that God can bring good even out of bad. I will come back and show you from the whole Bible where that comes from, but I won't be able to explain everything." And Joseph's not trying to explain something here. He's trying to bring comfort. And the truth is that God has a plan for our lives, that God is in control, that God can bring good out of bad things, and that God is doing a good work in us, making us more like himself, making us more gracious, more forgiving through all the hard times. That is a message to bring us comfort so that we don't have to live in fear. That God is in control. In the moment, God's plan seems hidden. That was the same for Joseph. God's plan seemed hidden. If you spoke to him when he was in the prison, he wouldn't be able to tell you what God was doing. And perhaps you're in a situation today where for me to say to you that the Bible says that for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that God works the good even out of the bad. That is a message that is hard to see in the moment because we're so afraid, we're so anxious, and we think, yeah, perhaps there's a plan for Joseph, perhaps there's a plan for Jeremiah out of the womb God called him. Perhaps there's a message for Moses, a plan for Moses. Perhaps there's a plan for Daniel, but what about me? Could there be a plan for my life? And as I've wrestled and prayed with this all week, I come to the rock-solid conclusion that God has a plan for your life and for my life. And that even the worst things that happen are under his control. Even the worst things that happen are under his control. You meant this to harm me, but God meant this for good. You could be in a situation today where if I say to you, you do not understand, but throw yourself on the sovereignty of God and trust him in the storm, then one day you will look back and you will see the good that God is doing in this moment. But for now, it's hidden. How can I say, when I don't know your life, that what is happening to you right now, which could be evil, which could be bad, is something that God is working good out of? How can I say that? What gives me the right to say that? Am I being terribly insensitive? Very simplistic? No, I'm saying it because it says it in here. And when we go through a storm, we either trust in our own understanding or we trust what it says in the Bible. And I have chosen, as you have as well, to build your life on the Word of God, the Word of his promise. The Word of his promise is that God has a good plan for your life, even though it's hidden. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, what was Peter's biggest problem? Does anyone know what Peter's biggest doubt was? Does anybody know? You shout it out. What was Peter's biggest doubt? I'll tell you what it was. It was the cross. He opposed Jesus to his face and said, no, not the cross. And when Jesus was being arrested, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, this is what Peter preached 40 days later. Looking out at the crowd, looking out at the people who had crucified Jesus, he looked into their eyes and he said, "This man Jesus was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Peter, who struggled with the cross, came to the conclusion that this terrible event of the dear, innocent, precious Son of God was not only an evil act by wicked men, 100%, but it was also 100% the plan of God for the salvation and the forgiveness and the reconciliation of the world. And so if God can bring good out of the crucifixion of his Son, the worst thing that has ever happened in human history, then God can bring good out of the situation that you're in now. Sometimes we open our Bibles, don't we, and we say, the verse just leapt out. Has that ever happened to you? Well, I was reading a devotion on Friday as I was praying about God being in control. And the devotion from Charles Spurgeon, Morning and Evening, started with these words: upon some points, a believer is absolutely sure God is in control. And the whole message was about God in control. That he sits in the middle of the boat when it looks like it's going to capsize. That he comes to us walking on the water and says, do not be afraid. That God rules over all. That he governs wisely and can bring good even out of evil. And that is how God put it all back together again. And if Joseph had not forgiven, and the brothers had not repented, this family would be fragmented. But God was at work to make sure they repented. God was at work to make sure that Joseph forgave. Their free will was involved, but God was so powerfully at work that he put them back together again. And he can put our lives back together again. That's why prayer really is so important. Because if you believe, like I do, that God is in control of events, working through our prayers, working through our obedience, then God will bring renewal, God will bring salvation, God will bring peace and grace and forgiveness. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would make us more sure of your perfect plan. Not that we have to understand it, but that we would trust you to work good in our lives. That you would conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. That we would not pay people back for the evil they do to us, but that we would entrust ourselves to you, the judge of all the earth, to do right and leave it in your hands. For those specific situations today, we pray for your power to be at work, to put it all back together again. And in the silence, I just want to leave space for you in the silence of your heart to ask God to put it all back together again. And may this church be used powerfully by you as a beacon of the good news that God puts us back together again by his grace through faith. And to you be all the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.